You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
Never filtered, always fun.
You've amped up this 100th anniversary of your league. You get Snoop out, and Snoop probably hit the bong right before he got out there. Press play and just had himself a time. Back up in
this
mother-
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
I'm going to start the show today with a quick little yes guy, no guy. As you know, I'm now a snowboarder. This is the last snowboarding question I will ever ask. I've been looking at a few different items and a few different brands. Are you a yes guy or no guy on me wearing a GoPro on top of my helmet?
For the whole trip?
I don't know how they work, but they can kind of document your trips, you know, down the hill.
Right. I would say yes, guy, actually. I might surprise you with that answer. I don't think it matters what people are going to say or what they're going to think.
You look like an idiot. You look like an idiot. I don't know.
Yeah, you do. So you got to ask yourself, are you really ever going to watch the video?
No, but other people will if I post them on so.
But are people really going to care? Like, can you just maybe go down with your phone and take a video of like one run as opposed to having it on for 8 hours at Blue Mountain or wherever you're going?
So you're saying no guy on the...
I would say yes guy if you feel like you're actually going to watch it ever again and it's going to mean something to you. I don't think you will. I think it's a waste of time.
So it's a no guy for
so
you.
So I guess, long story short, no guy. Jonas Siegel from the Canadian Press.
I have a question. Are you good? Like, are you a good snowboarder?
Ask Brian.
Is he
not
good?
Bad. He's raw. He's new at this, but he's pretty good. He's got athleticism that is obviously natural for him. And
right.
He's not bad.
But so my question is, are you prepared to, like, have video of you eating it?
I don't eat it.
Well, you
I'll
will.
Show you a video of me snowboarding.
Okay.
But you got to go out and buy the GoPro, right? Or do you have one already? And you got to remember, it's got to be able to do, are you wearing a helmet?
Oh, yeah.
So it has to
and
fit your helmet.
And I got new Oakley goggles, too.
Yeah, see, it's got to fit all your gear. You can't, and you're not going to be able to use it for anything else, I don't think. I mean, what else would you use it for if you're not going to do
It's only really good if you do eat it. Then people will want to watch.
He's no, got a point.
Who wants to see you just go down the hill?
I can carve, though. Like, I'm going to be a good snowboarder. Okay, you guys got it. No guy.
I would say no guy.
No guy.
But Jonas brings up a very good point. If you're committed to bailing or you think you're going to fall a lot, then it probably would be pretty good.
Yeah. I'd watch.
I'd watch you fall. I have no interest in watching you just go down the mountain.
Then it's a no guy. I'm not doing it. I probably don't even know how to set it up.
That's another thing. It's going to be one big commitment on top of the...
And I can't even imagine, like... I talk about people painting their face or wearing a ball glove to the park. I can't imagine seeing a colleague or a relative with a GoPro on my head. Wouldn't you be horrified?
Well, you've got the goggles on and the helmet. People probably won't know you. Right? Like, I wouldn't expect people to say, hey, there's Jeff O'Neill over there. So I think you can get away with it. It's the perfect sport for that. If you wear it down the street, you're going to get picked off as a lunatic pretty quickly, I would think, right?
Yeah,
unless
don't...
it's for, like, scientific purposes or something. If you're just simply doing it because you're killing time, I wouldn't suggest going down that road. I was going to get one for my kid, like, strap it onto her and let her run around. And when she falls, see what kind of different things she gets into. I thought that might be interesting, but... I decided not to do that.
What inspired, where did this come from? Why did you want to wear a GoPro?
I just saw a couple people up at Blue Mountain with GoPros, and I'm like, should I get one to kind of document my progress as a snowboarder?
Well, if you could do, like, if you can go off some jumps and do some stuff, then it's cool.
I can do jumps.
So maybe do it.
I got to see my progression this weekend. If I get better.
That would be another suggestion. I wouldn't jump into the pool like fully committed to everything yet, because you really, this is only your second time out.
So you say take it easy. And
yeah, then I would say don't overshoot it yet, right? Don't, like, stay in your lane. You're still a beginner. You're not Shaun White. You're not going to the Olympics. You're going to fall. So I would say kind of ease your way into it. And two or three times out, if you still enjoy it and you think this is something you're going to maybe continue to do, then you start investing in other, you know, technology and stuff. That would be my suggestion. Jonas is in here because Noodles is off to Florida. This guy goes to L.A. for the weekend, comes back for a day, and now he goes to Florida. Like, can he mix in a Detroit or a Winnipeg? Like, just so that we feel as if we're not, like, getting completely stiff.
Yeah, like all week in Detroit.
Right. Detroit, Buffalo, Columbus. That's what I want to see Noodles hit. Like that triangle of just dark,
eight
fog.
8 days in Buff and then followed up by a 5 spot in Detroit.
Yeah. Not L.A. to South Florida.
It wasn't that warm, if that makes you feel better.
Did you enjoy yourself in L.A.?
Yeah.
You survived.
I did. It was pretty interesting. There was just, like, so much star power all around. Like, whether it was, like, Hollywood celebrities or, like, all-time greats. Like, I stayed in, like, the NHL's main media hotel. Took the elevator down, like, with Lidstrom and Fedorov and Datsyuk. And they're just, like, walking around. Like, it's just weird to see, like, that many legends all in one place. That was probably the coolest part.
Did you get the impression, like, a lot of NHL fans flew to L.A.? Like, there were a lot of people from outside of the L.A. market
that
were there?
Why wouldn't you, man? If there was a destination to go to an All-Star game, wouldn't you want to go to Los Angeles in January?
Especially with the 100 greatest players there just walking around like that.
What was so interesting on that, Austin Matthews was like a celebrity there. Every time I saw him in the hotel, he had this crowd of fans. He had a security guard, like, having to escort him to, I think, his room. It was just something else.
Like, was it Leaf fans or, like, just American hockey
fans? It was
just,
like, both.
I find it, when I was watching the All-Star game, the one thing I did realize, it's amazing how you look at a jersey when a superstar puts it on. The Islander jersey, I just thought it was a crappy jersey and the team was crappy. But you know when that jersey started looking good? When the C and the Tavares and the 91 was on it. And they started making them. And then it's like, that jersey looks good. Like, I saw Austin Matthews in that Leaf jersey, and I'm like, when that there's a C on that thing, that is going to take that jersey to just a different level. It's going to, I mean, Randy Carlyle talked about it a couple years ago when he was coaching. He's like, these guys want to put the pride back in this logo, this team. It never really came to fruition, but I don't know. I just saw Austin Matthews and that Penguins jersey in their bad years, the Chicago jersey. But you know when that jersey started having some pop to it? Taze goes on the back. 19 goes on the back. The C goes on the front. Kane.
Well, and it's funny when the team becomes crap. Like, I used to love the Avalanche jersey.
Now it
just looks like crap.
It's
looks
garbage.
Stale.
Isn't it garbage?
I know. It's like when it was Forsberg and Sackett, you're like, that jersey's awesome.
Right.
Now it's like, that jersey sucks.
Yeah. The North Stars with Modano. Like, remember Modano and that thing? It would pop, to your point. You're absolutely right.
I saw the Leaf jersey on, and I'm like, that's a jersey now, man.
Well, someone was tweeting about it today, and I don't know if it's, maybe it's since the turn of the year, so probably this month, but he has the second highest jersey sales in the NHL. Crosby, I believe, was 1. Matthews was 2. McDavid was 5. Like, Matthews has passed McDavid at least for a month, at least
we
on the short
term.
We had
that as a Jerry's way back in the day.
We did. Would Matthews' jersey become more popular than McDavid? I don't remember what our answers were.
I think I said yeah.
Well, just on the basis of the markets, Toronto's way bigger, and there's way more Leaf fans.
And he's the it thing right now. Like, he is. Like, McDavid was the it thing last year. He continues to have an it factor, clearly, because he's as great of a player as he is. But Matthews is on a different level, and I think it's because of the market he plays in and the success the team is having right now.
I know we talk about him a lot, but when has Toronto had this? Like, forget about hockey, forget, like, basketball, baseball. I can't remember when they've had this.
The first overall superstar that exceeds expectations?
And that could be, like, a
Never.
Top five player I mean, Donaldson's maybe a top five player in baseball, but it's not the same.
But they didn't draft Donaldson. Right. He didn't start his career here. They had to acquire him via trade. Now, his first year in the market, he won the MVP. Donaldson is a superstar. You know, DeMar and Kyle, star players. Bautista, star players. But to the point where the guy's 19 and they drafted him and you don't picture him in any other uniform, it's very unique. It's unprecedented here. And he's the focal point of a season that is on pace to kind of feel like a miracle year, right? It's already kind of a miracle year where the Maple Leafs are right now. And I think if they continue on this pace and get into the playoffs, especially if they end up second or third in their division, and you feel good about who they're going to play in the first round, it's shades of 93. Right? 92, 93, coming off the horrible late 80s, early 90s. You acquire Gilmore, you hire Burns, you find Potvin as a rookie, you drafted him, but as a rookie, he starts to establish himself. That was the year that every Leaf fan over the age of 30 still references as the greatest year in the past 50 years, probably. And that's kind of where they're going right now. This has caught everyone off guard. No one predicted this to happen. You've got all the rookies playing really well. Anderson's a beast. Babcock's pulling the strings behind the scenes or behind the bench. And as it currently stands, based on points percentage, they're in the playoffs.
There's now, something that happened, though, and I don't know where it happened, when it happened, but just I always said, you know, in all the quiz questions or different polls we do, are they going to get in? And I'm always yes, but just talking about the amount of games before we came on air, Brian, and in the schedule, and there's kind of some greasy teams coming up that I don't like. I just got this kind of nervous tension where I'm like, man, come out of the gate like humming. Like,
that's the Leaf fan in you. The built-in pessimism where you're waiting for it
to
crumble.
I'm waiting for the 18-wheeler, to be honest with you, where I'm just like, that's just so Leafy.
Now, it's a very different team.
You got my attention for three quarters of the season, and then I wouldn't be shocked if we were coming in here 20 games left and we were so pissed off. We'd be like, nah, I didn't even watch it last night.
Well, they got 35 games in 69 nights.
That is insane.
It is crazy. That's the lockout year.
I was like, Babs, chill out when you're talking about the schedule. But now when you look at this, that's insane.
And they are in Dallas tonight, in St. Louis on Thursday. They've got four road games here in a row coming out of the All-Star break. They still have to go through California. They've got Columbus three times. They still have Washington. They still have Pittsburgh. They got a tough schedule, like a really difficult schedule. But Ottawa's got a very similar one. Ottawa has the same amount of games and the same amount of nights. That's who you're competing with. That's who you're chasing. And, yeah, Boston doesn't have the same schedule, but they've lost a lot of games, right? I'd rather be in the Maple Leafs position than Boston's position, where Boston has played five more games than the Maple Leafs. They've only got them by a point. Yeah, they got the bye week coming up. They don't have as many games down the stretch. But the games in which they took advantage of, in terms of them actually playing and the Maple Leafs weren't playing, they lost. So it gets back to just accepting that could be a lot worse. They could be where they were a year ago and completely out of contention. At the very least, you're going to have a very entertaining 70 nights.
Well, I think the biggest question, do you buy this rookie wall thing? Because I don't.
No, I don't.
So take that aside. Then the biggest question is going to be Anderson, because he's going to play a ton. And so, A, can he keep playing well?
He's got to play 35.
So can he keep playing well while playing 30 of 35, and can he not get hurt?
That's why they acquired him. That's why they paid
those
him.
Those are big questions. Yep. That's hard.
I was on TH last night with Dave Reed, and that was my biggest factor coming down the stretch. Can he play well? Can he stay healthy? Because these young guys, they're going to have some tough. He's going to have to steal at a 30 performances by Frederik Andersen. I don't know, maybe five games he might have to steal where they have no business winning. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. That might be on the low end. Five maybe where they don't have it. Yeah. He's got to be the best player.
Like 45 stops. Somehow they win 2-1. Yeah. You have to do that to be a playoff team.
And he's had that. But it's like it's hard to do it for 60, 65 games.
Right. And this is why they invested. This is why they did the research and they put belief in him.
They've
and
also now, given him some cushy nights, too. A lot of nights they're posting up four.
That's right. It's on Freddie Anderson. I'm not going to give him rope here. It's on him to prove that he was worthy of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him 5 years at $5 million per before he had stepped foot in Toronto. Like, that was a huge commitment.
I was almost barfing the first 10 games of the season. I'm like, here we go again.
Everybody was. Freddie Toscola. That's what we were calling him.
Froscola.
Yeah.
That's who he was. He was awful the first 8 to 10 games.
And felt lost and looked lost.
But he totally redeemed himself.
Yeah.
He turned the ship around. Right. Yeah, he went Lloyd. Traded in the Shaggin Wagon.
He totally redeemed himself.
For a scooter, man. 75 miles to the gallon. That's what he's been doing. But he can drive that scooter right off a cliff with some bad play here. And I think we'd all concede he's got to be the MVP over the final 35 games. I got a couple of rapid-fire puzzle-type Maple Leaf items to throw at you, okay?
That just got my... Right now?
Right now. I figured I was going to wait until later, but we're rolling. Why not? Right?
I think it's been a good start to the show.
I think we got some energy. I think the GoPro talk kind of knocked the rust out of us. We got a yes guy, no guy in here. Jonas talked about L.A.
By the way, did you get drunk in L.A.?
No.
Not even once?
No, I was too busy, and I have family there, so there was none of that.
So what, your family doesn't drink?
No, it's like my mom.
My mom will have a gin and tonic with anyone.
You're getting blasted with
O's face.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, he was shocked by that kind of comment from you, but and that kind of detail. Anyway, you ready for...
Let's go.
I got a four-pack of puzzle
items. Do we have a puzzle
items.
Intro? Let's hit it.
Do you want to play the
yeah.
intro?
Okay. Here we go.
And another piece of the puzzle.
It's now time for the puzzle brought to you by Freddy the Goat. Take it away, Brian.
Thank you, Rod. Did we ever establish why this is brought to you by Freddy the Goat?
I have no idea. Who knows what?
I know he likes puzzles, but it doesn't, like, Freddy the Goat, like, he sponsored the puzzle. Like, that's kind of the way
we turned Freddy
make it
Goat
sound.
Into a hero.
Ace, he's playing absolutely. Well, right? He's playing fine, Jonas. Don't shake your... He's better than Ben Smith. Can you give him that?
When Ben Smith's healthy, Ben Smith is going back in.
You think so?
Bet your life.
I don't know. I like what the GOAT has been bringing.
The GOAT didn't do himself any favors playing goalie in the last 2 minutes and then...
In Philly?
Babcock's talked well about him. Like, he's praised him, but...
6'5", 230.
He's like 40%.
Every time he steps on the ice.
I don't know.
Well, Ben Smith, though, he's not...
He's no star either.
He's not a Corsi king either, let's be honest.
No.
There's a reason he was on waivers out of Colorado. They picked him up off waivers from Colorado, the worst team in the history of the league. Like, they're putting up some numbers right now that are truly mind-boggling in Colorado. Anyway, all right. We just mentioned Freddie Anderson. We all concede he has to be the MVP. Outside of Freddie Anderson... Who is your next vote? Who has to be the MVP for this team to get into the playoffs outside of Freddie Anderson?
Auston Matthews, very simple. He's got to try to get to 35, 40 goals and be the best player on the ice every night like he is. Both ends of the rink, 200-foot game.
I don't even think it's a question. I think he's right. Like, what's the other answer? Like
Morgan Rielly. Now, he's not playing tonight, but I think he will return. And if Matthews slows down a little bit, I think they have proven they have enough offensive weaponry.
They're okay.
To pick him up. Kadri's on pace for 35. That might slow down. It might not. Marner and Nylander are capable of putting up points. JVR can put up points. Their power play is on fire. I don't think Matthews... I think he's got to play a prominent role. Don't get me wrong. I would put him right there. I think it's a coin flip.
He's already established himself as the best player on the team.
So he's a great player.
When you do that, it's just fair or unfair, 19 years old or whatever. You don't show your driver's license when you walk into the rink. You got to be the best guy every night.
Okay, but what's the weakness still on this team?
D.
Their defensive play and their defensive core. And I still think Rielly has more to give than what he showed us through the first 40 games. And if he can give us more, play with a bit more of a... But I don't know, a higher gear or a different
gear. Maybe one of the possible answers is Lou. Can Lou be a factor in supplying the defense with the ingredients to be more successful?
But that's not... You think that's going to happen?
I don't
think that's going to happen.
I don't see it happening, but...
I think Babs would be kind of wanting that.
That's an interesting question.
I don't know. But I have to ask you a question.
Your job on this show is not to ask the questions. He does.
No, we can all throw them out if you have a compelling question.
Well, because what you made me think of is who could they afford to lose more?
Well, I think what's been proven here is
they take Rielly off,
they've survived without Rielly. They're 2-2-1 without him.
Sorry, I meant Matthews. If you take Matthews off, they're worse.
Than Morgan worse. Riley?
Right.
You think they go 1-3-1?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's
I think
more
it's pretty close
to their team.
I think what he represents right now is a guy who is driving this team, and he represents change. He represents hope that they can keep this together because he isn't affiliated with the 18-wheelers. I'll grant you that.
None of them are, basically, except like five
Well, Bozak guys. Is, JVR is, yeah. Gardner is, there are, Kadri is. Those guys were all there for all of the 18-wheelers.
Yeah.
They were all there and playing prominent roles. They were. Like,
yeah,
it's a fact.
I can't deny
all,
that. But
they were
they
all
were,
in Boston. They were all
but
there
like the,
for when Wilson
the guys
got fired.
Now driving the bus weren't like key pieces, and that's what matters.
True enough. All right. Worst case scenario over the final 35 games. This is a negative piece of the puzzle. They play well but just miss draft 14th, or they spiral out of control and pick 5th.
Is this picking the better of the two evils here?
Yeah, okay.
Which one would you rather take? Or
phrase it that way. That's probably a better way of phrasing it. If you had these two options, which one would you choose?
I'm taking spiral out of control. Just missing is garbage. It's garbage, garbage, garbage.
Well, because at least you want the reward at the end of a top five pick, right?
Yeah, there's no reward for mediocrity. You're just missing, or you just get in, you get pumped in the first round. It's the worst place in sports, and it sucks.
But I guess he's saying, like, psychologically, it would be really crap for that team to go through that here.
Yeah, like, that's an 18-wheeler.
That's why I'm picking play well and just miss.
It's not fun.
It's a spiral out of control. Then you're asking, okay, is Freddie Anderson a fraud in net? Because that means he would have factored in unless he gets injured. Can the kids find a way to learn from this? Okay, the defense really is in trouble, so clearly there's more pressure on the offseason to actually do something. And furthermore, and probably most importantly, it sure sounds like this draft is awful. So I'm not sure there's a massive difference between the 5th pick and the 14th pick anyway. So I'll take them playing well, staying in the mix, and just missing with that heartbreak, then spiraling out of control, and here we go again with the Brian Burke 18-wheeler sound bites every single show.
Well, if you ask them, that's what they'd say too, right?
I think it would mean more. I think they could learn more from that, don't you think?
Well, I told you guys, I didn't think it would be the worst thing in the world if they just missed. Like, it would be a disappointment given where they are for them, but if we told you at the beginning of the year that they would just miss, you'd be like, okay, that makes sense. Young team, 7-8 rookies.
Yeah. You'd probably at the beginning of the year say they exceeded your expectations.
Yeah.
If they just missed.
Sure.
You know, like missed by a point or two and pick 14th. Which teams have the best chance to beat out the Maple Leafs for playoff spots? So the second and third spot in the Atlantic and then that second wild card. They're in the running for all three at this point. I'll go first on this because I'm throwing this out on the fly. Ottawa is clearly one. I had a difficult time figuring out which was that second team at the Atlantic. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. Even though they've had their issues, I think they're the most talented team of the other guys that are available right now. I don't see Buffalo doing it. Detroit's out of it. It's basically Tampa, Florida, or Boston. And Boston has really not impressed me. Florida, it just feels like it's one of those years where nothing's going to get on the right track because of the issues off the ice, the ownership.
Injuries.
The injuries. Barkov may not be coming back. Huberto may never get back. I'll say Tampa,
Buffalo,
and Ottawa, and then I'm going to say Philly as the wild card team.
I think I'm going to go Ottawa, Philly, and Buffalo kind of scares me that they can go on some kind of run.
Really?
Just a little bit of positivity before the break, and they kind of jump themselves into the equation with all the teams at 49 points.
That is an interesting take. I put some thought into Buffalo. I just don't know.
It's going to have to be the run that Philly had last year.
A miracle run.
A miracle run.
But what is powering that run? Like, what do you see? Like, Eichel scoring a million goals?
Yeah.
Leonard getting really
just,
hot?
They're just the positive vibe.
They have some talent there.
Oh, there's
like
no
Reinhardt,
question.
Kane. They've got some talent in Buffalo. I think they put themselves too far behind the eight ball. And I think if you're going with talent, I would still side with Tampa.
I would, too. I think it's Tampa. Just because
you have you guys all the time. They're going to make it. Don't forget about Tampa.
Well, I think
I think the Leafs are going to make it. But if we have to choose it based on this, I will put Tampa ahead of Boston and Florida as the other teams that are kind of competing right now.
I just think they had this horrible first half. They're still in the mix. They're still a team that went to the Cup Final and then went to the Eastern Conference Final. We don't know when they're going to get Stamkos back. If Bishop is any bit better than he was before he got hurt, I don't know. I still like Tampa's talent better. But other than that, like, not a lot there would terrify me if I'm the Leafs. Like,
no.
Philly's interesting, but the goaltending is always a question.
Absolutely. And they got a really young defense. So if you're going to apply the young theory to the Maple Leafs, you have to apply it to Philly. All right, the biggest hurdle for the Maple Leafs to make the playoffs will be inexperience, the pressure of the market, or the schedule?
The schedule. Because the schedule, it's kind of a hybrid. The inexperience and the schedule, learning how to deal with it. They're going to understand that the games are going to amp up now after the All-Star break leading up into the playoffs. There's not a lot of guys that are kind of battle-tested on this team. So, but I'm going to say the schedule. It is going to be a grind.
Well, do you remember what that lockout year was like?
It was very exciting. I know that.
I think it's going to be a blast. If you're a Leaf fan, strap into that couch and do not move for 69 nights. Because they play 35 times over the next 69 nights.
Like every other day, basically.
It's like a playoff run. Like we said that the other day. It's like five playoff runs that all go to Game 7. Five playoff series that all go to Game 7. Back in the day where they actually played every other night. It is going to be quite a ride. But I will go with the schedule as well. Because they've still got some really good teams they have to play. Now, that applies to everyone. Mm-hmm. But they still go through California. You look at a guy like Austin Matthews. You look at a guy like Morgan Rielly, who's banged up. And you look at a guy like Freddie Anderson. The three pillars of this team and the pillars of
success. Well, look at this
road
trip they got right now.
They've played a lot.
Dallas,
they've had
St.
injury
Louis,
problems.
Boston, Islanders. That kind of, I don't like the look of that. And you just mentioned it. They got to go out west. California. They got Columbus three times coming up. It's like, ugh. I don't like it.
No, it's not a good-looking schedule.
Easy.
It will not be easy.
Well, how much do you think we should read into this, like, inexperienced, young, and all that? Like, when does it stop?
I don't buy it when you're that talented. And I'm not going to buy it with all of these players. Could one of the big three tail off? Yeah, that's conceivable. That may have happened anyway.
Yeah.
But I think two of the big three are going to continue to push play the way that they have.
But then even beyond those big three, they have Van Riemsdyk, they have Bozak, they have Kadri. Like,
right.
They have other players.
Seasoned veterans. There's no reason to believe that it's going to apply.
I just think we have to stop looking at youth as, like, this big, scary thing.
Well, look at it for the reason they're in the position they are right now.
Yeah.
It's a positive. All this youth is why they are where they are. Without Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Carrick.
No, but they're just good. Like, we need to stop just thinking of them as young. They're just good.
Right. But I'm saying, you're right. We're saying the same thing, just with different language. You can be fearful of the youth, but without it, you wouldn't even be in this position. You wouldn't even be in the position of caring because they wouldn't even be close to a playoff spot. Ray will join us right after 5 p.m. Trent Dilfer on the show today. LeBron James took a healthy run at Charles Barkley last night. We'll tell you about that. We'll discuss it next. All right, take it or leave it trivia later in the hour. Ray just after 5. We've got another great giveaway to get to later in the afternoon as well. We'll tell you about that in the 5 p.m. hour, and we're doing that in the 6 p.m. hour. We're very charitable today.
The hell is this? Price is Right?
We're hooking people up, man. That's what people are looking for. So we'll get to that later in the hour, later in the afternoon. We'll hit on LeBron versus Chuck in 2 minutes. All right, so LeBron James has been very outspoken over the past couple of weeks. He caused a bit of a stir when he came out and he said he needs help from his team. And he wants the owner to spend money, wants the GM to pull the trigger on a big trade, if not multiple trades. And he wants a playmaker. And as a result, because he's LeBron, anything he says or does leads to a reaction from everybody. And Charles Barkley's been running at him for a long time. And LeBron James last night finally said, I've just had it up to here, and I've had enough. Now, it came after a bad loss at Dallas. Like, Cleveland is in big trouble here. They are brutal right now.
I don't know about big trouble, but
in terms of the moment,
relative big trouble.
They're bad right now. Like, you lose to Dallas.
Dallas isn't great.
That is awful. They lost to Sacramento at home last week. That is really, really bad. But anyway, LeBron James finally said to an ESPN writer in Cleveland, come here, I've got a quote for you. And he was talking about Charles Barkley. He said, quote, he's a hater. What makes what he says credible? Because he's on TV? And he went on to say, I'm not going to let him disrespect my legacy like that. I'm not the one who threw somebody through a window. I never spit on a kid. I never had unpaid debt in Vegas. I never said I'm not a role model. I never showed up to All-Star Weekend on Sunday because I was in Vegas all weekend partying. All I've done my entire career is represent the NBA the right way. 14 years, never got in trouble, respected the game, print that, end quote. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a mic drop. And that,
why does he got to bring up the getting in trouble stuff? Why can't he just stick to the comments?
I think he's had enough. I think he's had enough, and I fully support LeBron. I admit I am a LeBron James apologist. I think this guy is the textbook superstar. He's absolutely right. Outside of the decision, which was not a great decision the way he went about it, but ultimately harmless, this guy has had a flawless reputation.
Jeter-esque. Well, actually not as...
Even on a different level than Jeter.
No, he's under Jeter.
He's above Jeter.
How is he above...
Because he's better than Jeter.
Yes. Yeah, but Jeter
he's
never...
He's way better than Jeter.
Jeter never had these... Anything.
Jeter never
had controversy because he never said anything.
He never said anything. LeBron has the stones to be progressive and speak out about what's going on in his community, other communities throughout the states. He's not a guy who's going to pull the Michael Jordan and say, hey, Republicans buy shoes too. I commend him for what he's been willing to say publicly, the way he's gone about his business for 14 years. We live in an era now where everyone is a hot take artist and everyone has a hatred on for the superstar players. And it sucks because this is my guy. Like, this is my generation is LeBron.
It's our Jordan.
It's our Jordan.
Sure.
It's our Magic. It's our Russell. It's our great, great players. And they didn't get that treatment because they didn't live in the same world. And I think if you flipped it, if you put LeBron first and he came up in the 80s and 90s and Jordan was playing now, the same thing would be happening to Jordan.
Oh, my God.
He would
be getting
roasted.
Remember some of the things Jordan did?
He left the sport.
To go play baseball.
But he would be destroyed by Charles Barkley if he did that today.
Do you remember some of the rumors about Jordan? Like, why he left the sport?
Oh,
of course.
Some of
the speculation, like, with the mob and, like, money he owed.
The gambling connections.
He was known to, have, like, stay at the casino all night and then come to the shoot-around in the morning. Like, can you imagine if LeBron did that today? He would be killed in social media.
Of course. And LeBron never does it. And people take it for granted. People take runs at him because he's never shot back. He's always just said, you know what? You go low, I'll go high. He finally said, you know what? There's a younger generation out there that only knows Charles Barkley as the big personality on
TNT.
I'll
tell you what, for Charles Barkley, to make him be quiet, and Shaq did it the other night, he literally, his jaw opened up and he had nothing to say when Shaq said, no, you've never gone back to back. And he just...
How do you respond to that?
He can't. He didn't. He hadn't, for the first time, he had nothing to say.
And Barkley's one of the biggest personalities, most entertaining people in sports media history.
He's one of the best analysts that's ever done it. But the negativity kind of creeps up, and then that's when guys say, you know what? Like, I get messages from certain players saying, what did you have to say that for? And I said, how come you never text me when I do the good you out there, the great plays? I break it down. I say, look at the skill. Look at all this good stuff. How come you don't text me and say, hey, thanks for that?
Well, and that's the Barkley act right now is hating everything. He's the old guy who hates the new guys, and it's growing stale. It really is. He's never positive in any way. Every guy's a loser. The game sucks. Every game's going to be awful that night on TNT.
We would have beat their ass when we were playing.
Right.
They're soft.
And it's untrue. And what LeBron has done here is he's supplied a lot of younger people with info that they probably didn't know about Barkley. And quite frankly, the TV Barkley would probably hate on the player Barkley.
Yes.
If he's being honest and if he's being hateful towards all these other great players today. The one thing I will criticize LeBron on in terms of this comment is where he's questioning the credibility of Barkley. Barkley is a Hall of Fame player, was on the Dream Team. He's entitled to his opinion. It is
his job.
His job. And this is not some guy with four followers on Twitter. Charles Barkley does have credibility. So LeBron is wrong in saying, wait a minute, why does he have credibility here? Just because he's on TV? Don't play dumb. You know Charles Barkley is Charles Barkley.
Yeah, he was a great player and he's a great analyst. He has credibility.
But I understand why LeBron has finally said, are you kidding me? I'm one of, if not the greatest player of all time, and all I have is people taking runs at me left, right, and center.
Well, one thing I know, and Jeff would know this, I know players don't like, if you're going to write some like hit column or you're going to criticize a guy, to not A, come and ask him about it, or B, show up the next day and be willing to step out.
Now, Barkley is doing it from a studio in Atlanta. He doesn't have that luxury.
Me too. I'm here. I'm not going to be down at the rink. I don't need to show my face in front of those players. If I have to, I will. I don't care. If I make critical comments, it's just what they're doing, not me.
But when it gets personal or goes over the line,
I don't get personal with anybody.
We're not talking about you.
No, I just remember players don't like that,
and I understand that. And I'm sure Barkley didn't like that during his career. Oh, you probably didn't like that either. But when the positive comes up, I'm sure they like that, and that doesn't get brought up that much. We'll continue this conversation into the next hour. We'll ask Ray about it, Trent Dilfer as well, just after 6. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
Take it or leave it trivia with the O-Dog.
All right, here we go. We've got Justin from Milton on the line. How you doing, Justin?
Good, boys. How are you?
We're doing very well. You ready to hand it over here to the O-Dog, and you know the way this works?
I'm ready.
All right, first question. You know how this works, right? You're going to get three, then you have the opportunity. If you win any, you let it ride or you keep the cash, right?
I'm ready.
All right, bud. Which NHL coach signed a two-year contract extension?
The Rangers coach, Vigneault.
Yes, sir!
Yes, sir. We'll give you that one. Alain Vigneault, 2 years.
Which chocolate bar was sent to the Overdrive crew yesterday?
You know what? It's funny. I got to try one. You're talking about it a lot. The Big Turk.
Yes, sir!
The sky is on fire.
On fire right now.
Possibly
feeling
the
it.
Worst questions that feeling I've ever it. Come up with. But who did LeBron James rip into for being a hater?
Barkley.
Yes, sir!
We literally talked about that 5 minutes ago. But hey, we appreciate it, right?
We do appreciate it.
I appreciate the show.
All right, man. Well, you just picked up $150, and now you have to ask yourself, do you take the cash, or do you want to let it ride, and you'll be included in this week's grand prize finale?
Bonanza.
Yeah, the bonanza, with a chance to win a bunch of cash and maybe go to Jamaica with yourself and three other people. What do you want to do? Take the cash or leave it?
No, I'm in the bonanza. Sign me up.
I got a good feeling about you.
Good man, Justin. We appreciate you tuning in, buddy, and try that Big Turk bar, okay?
I will. Thanks, guys.
All right, stay on the line. Steph will pick up, and good luck this Friday. And Justin and Milton, what do you think of that, Jonas?
He sounded like he had it together. A lot of times it seems like you get a creepazoid or some different type of character on the horn. I like that guy.
That was a true fan right there. A big fan of the program.
A legit, respectable fan.
I'm trying to think if I've tried a Big Turk bar. I don't know if I have. Is it in the red packaging?
It's kind of red, blue, and white.
What's your favorite chocolate bar?
I've got many.
Me too.
I'm a Snickers guy. Kit Kat.
I'll tell you what, and Eat More.
You have the weirdest taste.
That's Eat a weird choice.
Thanks.
Eat More and Big Turk are your two go-to choices. Makes no sense. I'm not a Big Turk guy. Him and Noodles, though, love them. Love it.
I had one of my American friends come to Canada for a golf trip, and this man had never had a Coffee Crisp before. He bought boxes of them to bring home. He was in love.
It's like ketchup chips. You can only get them up here.
Well, so I saw my brother in California, and I brought him a package of Canadian stuff. Ketchup chips, all-dressed chips, caramel, Crunchy Bar.
Not bad.
Canadian, they don't have that.
They got a lot of weird stuff up here that we all like. A lot.
Pickled chips.
But they got weird stuff in the States, too.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Ray's coming up. We'll get back into LeBron versus Barkley. There's a lot of people texting in and tweeting in that just hate LeBron. The hate, I've never understood it. We'll try to get to the bottom of it if we can.
They're hating on LeBron.
Hating on LeBron. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.